Hi, and welcome back to the Mindful Sport Performance Podcast. I'm Dr. Keith Kaufman.
And I'm Dr. Tim Pinot.
And we are very excited to have a special guest today, Prince Daniels Jr. Prince Daniels Jr. is a former NFL running back turned mindfulness practitioner, author, and entrepreneur, so he wears lots of hats. His personal story is one of determination and a true-to-life testimony that anything is possible. Daniel's football career began as a walk-on for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. He became a two-time all-conference tailback and the fourth leading rusher in Georgia Tech history. He was selected as a two-time all-academic, all-ACC student-athlete, and in 2004 ran for a still-existing NCAA bowl game record of 311 yards and four touchdowns at the Humanitarian Bowl. The NFL's Baltimore Ravens drafted him in 2006, and he played for three seasons until injury prematurely ended his career. Using meditation as a tool for recovery from his depression and loss of identity, he found his calling of helping professional athletes find their vision and purpose in life. Daniel's new book, Mindfulness for the Ultimate Athlete, Mastering the Balance Between Power and Peace, helps athletes reach the highest level of their game. So thank you so much, Prince, for joining us today. Such an impressive bio, and, yeah. And we are really excited to hear about the work that you're doing. It sounds awesome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, guys. I really do appreciate this. Keith and Tim, this is an honor to be in you guys' presence. So I'm looking forward to this interview.
Oh, thank you. And thank you. Was kind enough to agree to lead us in a brief practice. As listeners know, we do like to start our episodes with just 3 to 5 minutes of mindfulness practice. And, standard disclaimer that as Prince is leading, if you are somewhere where you can't give your full attention to the practice, maybe just listen for right now and then come back to it when you can fully concentrate on what he has to say. So right, thank you right, so much, right. Prince.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for this opportunity. All right. So for our listeners, I'll just jump right into it. I want you to sit up straight. Always have a erect posture, sitting up straight. Imagine yourself as an antenna, as you're trying to find some type of connection. So you always want to keep your posture upright as if you're majestic. All right, and I want you to close your eyes if your eyes are not closed. Now, what I'm going to guide you through is a relaxation exercise. A lot of times we are told to relax, and we really don't understand the meaning of relaxation, or we don't have the feeling of what it feels like to be relaxed. So for today's practice, what I want you to do, make sure you're sitting upright. And I'm going to ask for you to inhale through your nostrils as deep as possible. I'm going to say inhale like this. And you're going to hold your breath at the top. Now, while you're holding your breath at the top, I'm going to ask for you to tense just the upper torso of your body, your abdominal, your head, your arms, all of those muscles. I want you to tense them. And after I count down from three, I'm going to ask for you to exhale and relax the muscles. So in order for you to understand relaxation, you have to understand the opposite of relaxation, which is tension. So we're creating tension so we can understand and feel our relaxation. After we do that, we're going to do another breath cycle, and I'm going to ask for you to tense just your lower torso. We're going to relax, and we're going to tense that and then relax it. And after we do that, we have one more breath cycle where I ask for you to tense the whole body. And we're going to hold our breath for a three count. And then we're going to relax the whole body. So let's jump into it. I would like for everyone to inhale as deep as possible through your nostril or the back of your throat. Inhale. Now I want you to tense all your muscles up top. Tense, tense, tense. Open your mouth and with control, exhale and relax those muscles. Beautiful. We're going to do another breath cycle. I'm going to ask for you to inhale, and this time we're going to tense our lower torso. Everyone, inhale through the nostrils as deep as possible. Inhale. Hold your breath at the top and tense just the lower part, your buttocks, your hips, your quads, your hamstrings, tense, and relax and release. It's the last breath cycle. This time we're going to tense our whole body. Make sure you're sitting up straight, as if you have all the confidence in the world. I want everybody to inhale as deep as possible. Inhale. Hold it at the top and tense every single muscle in your body, even your toes. Scrunch your face. Tense. Open your mouth and with control, relax and release. Now for the next 20 seconds, just allow yourself to be in the presence of relaxation. Everyone, take a nice deep inhale and a relaxing exhale. Wiggle your nose and wiggle your toes, and slowly and gently open your eyes and come out of your practice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for leading us through that. I love experiencing kind of new teachers, new approaches to leading these exercises, because I feel like I always pick up something new, and I never heard the analogy of like the antenna with like the beginning, and that really hit me. I love that, like you're sitting up tall like an antenna, like you're searching for connection. There was something about saying that really, like, I was like, oh yeah, I like that a lot.
Right, that's the key to making your connection in your meditation. You know, the posture, it's if you read in all the ancient books, they talk about the posture, maintaining an erect posture. And when you think about an antenna, whenever you're trying to find a signal, you know, you're moving mm-hmm. it around. Then once you find a signal, you make sure that the antenna is erect as possible, mm-hmm. and it's making that connection. So we have to think of ourselves as an antenna looking mm-hmm. to make a connection.
I loved the language you used too. I think what I found myself responding to the most was your energy. You know, you seemed like awesome, you were having a blast leading this.
And, yeah. And
that was fun for me. I found myself smiling a lot as we're going through this. Like, it felt good, and it was great to feed off your energy as a leader.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. Meditation has saved my life. And so when I speak about it, I don't speak about it from a passion standpoint. I feel like I've exceeded that standpoint of being passionate about it. I am the passion, you know, behind the meditation. And so whenever you are in my presence, you feel the energy, like, all right, you know what, let's meditate, let's breathe. So yeah, I take pride in it, and I look for it to actually make a difference in the world. So it can help us out, because meditation is a remedy to every single thing in life. If we're lost, you know, the best thing to do is to take that time to look within, check in with yourself. As I tell people, you know, a lot of times, and I'll share this later on in my story, but a lot of times in life we get stuck. We feel like we can't go forward, we can't go back, we can't go left, we can't go right. But there's always another option, and that option is to go up. So when you go within, you go up. And a lot of people don't know that, but I'm here to share that with them.
Yeah. Well, that seems just like kind of a perfect segue. I mean, because your journey is such a powerful, inspirational story. Maybe we can kind of start there about, you know, how you came to mindfulness, how you came to where you are now.
Yeah, most definitely. Let's do it. So do you want me, would you like for me to start off?
Please.
Yeah, please.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like what? Okay. So where did I come in? Okay. So mindfulness. Mindfulness has been around a while in my family. My dad was a black belt. He was from Ghana, Africa. But he studied karate and he learned a lot about meditation. So as I was growing up, I would see him in the room, talking about, some of the things that he could do and teaching my uncle some of his karate moves. And, it rubbed off on me a little bit. It's just like, peek my head in, see what my dad is doing and leave. Like, what is that? He's just sitting there. And so early on, I have four uncles, but two of my uncles were really instrumental in my upbringing. And they wanted to see what else was out there in the world. They wanted to explore. There was so much more, and they wanted to make a connection. And so they became members of this monastery in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas, where they spent time with the lead monk there, and he would give them books. Just books, and they would read the books. And then they would actually start going to the monastery. And this is when I was in middle school. So 1998.
And this was a Buddhist monastery?
No, a non-religious monastery. So non-affiliation. Mm. Yeah. So okay. It's a universal monastery, the way that I was taught.
Cool.
Because, yeah. So, they take a little bit from every what do you call it, lifestyle or religion that practices meditation, but there's no title that's on it. It's just more universal. We do the work for the work's sake, to help the universe evolve, to help mankind evolve. And I was introduced to it say around college. More so because I was trying to figure out, where I stood in life, because I grew up in a religious background as well. But I always felt that I would be reprimanded or scolded for asking questions because I was one of those kids that was very inquisitive on why aren't there dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? But when we go to school, there's no Jesus is mentioned in school. Like, what's going on? Like, these two they don't go hand in hand. And as I grew older, I wanted to tap into something. And I felt like there was a burning desire inside of me that wanted to see more, feel more, connect more. And luckily for my uncles, whenever I was reaching out for that calling, they introduced me to the monastery. And I've been there ever since for past 12 years. So I've been a member of the monastery. I enjoy going back and I enjoy giving my time and I enjoy cultivating the energy that's being shared, because the head monk there has been meditating for 70 years plus. And just on another level. And so I've just been very fortunate to be exposed to that level and also reap some of the benefits just being in that space, in that area, because, in our society, we don't get an opportunity to stop and think about things. And for me, it helped me in my transition from being a professional athlete to being like not an average Joe Blow, but a civilian. Mm. And so, that's a huge drop off because you're praised, for being a gladiator, a modern day gladiator and an entertainer. But after that goes away, there's a void. And so for me, I fell into I had a self-identity crisis and fell into a deep depression from there. And shortly after that, I tried to commit suicide. And if it wasn't for the practice of meditation, which saved my life, and the reason why it saved my life is because I put together a three-day plan for my demise. And when day three came, I was told to go and meditate. And so I thought that was the most non-helping advice that you can give an individual. Because I ended up calling six people. I called my professor, my mother, my father, my uncles, and I felt that they could not relate to me because I lost a job, a professional career, my professional job, my career job, being an NFL athlete, professional athlete. I lost it. I was just like, wow, I let myself down. And so when I would speak to everyone, no one would give me the information that I wanted to hear. And so those six people I called, and I didn't hear what I wanted to hear. So the seventh person I called was the headmaster monk at the monastery. It's like, what can he possibly say to me? And so immediately when he got on the phone, I started lamenting about all of my problems. I lost my job. I lost my condo, my relationship. I just lost my fiance. I lost so many things. And he listened to me. And after I finished speaking, he said, "Are you done?" And it just minimized me. It just minimized everything that I shared with him. And I mentioned to him, I was like, "And I'm about to commit suicide. I'm about to kill myself." And he minimized it by it was silence. And then, "Are you done?" And from that moment, that was the first time I heard myself exhale. It's like, what? Oh my goodness. And afterwards, he shared a couple of things. And then he said, "Meditate," and hung up the phone. And that was it. And so now I'm saying to myself, oh, you know what? This is it. I'm definitely going to go and harm myself. But the beauty of it was, as I get up from the table and decide to go to my room to go and commit this action, before I get to my closet is where I left my gun, my weapon. I look to the left, and there's this meditation pillow. And it seemed like the sun ray was beaming directly on the meditation pillow. And I'm looking at it like, why? Because I'm soaking in misery. Yeah. I'm depressed. I've been telling myself that you were not enough. You let your family down. You let yourself down. How did you lose your condo? How did you lose your wife? All of these things that you worked toward, your fiance, all of these things that you worked towards, you've lost it just like that. Like, who are you now? Yeah, so I had this self-identity crisis. And so I decided to go and sit down on this meditation pillow. And I told myself, I'll commit to 1 hour. And within this hour, if I don't see anything, I'm going to harm myself. Actually, not harm myself. I had all the intentions of murdering myself, committing suicide. And so I go and sit down for this hour-long meditation. And around 35 minutes, I have some huge muscles. So as I'm sitting down, it's the most uncomfortable feeling, uncomfortable posture, uncomfortable hour that I've ever experienced in my life. So as I'm sitting down, I have excruciating pain in my hips around 35 minutes. And then I start sweating. You know, it's that part where you're so uncomfortable, you start sweating. And it was profusely. And so as I'm sitting, I'm struggling with my posture. I'm struggling to sit still. There's so many things going on in my mind. It's the same thing, like, oh, I'm about to, you know, harm myself, kill myself, or you know, like, I can't even stand up on my own. Like, I can't believe you lost your job. Just so many debilitating thoughts happening in my mind. And as I'm sitting, I open my eyes, or I open one eye, and I peek at the clock, the timer that I had. And on the timer, it said 57 minutes. I never forget it. And I was saying to myself, get up right now. This hurts. Like, just stop. And then another voice was saying, you committed to 1 hour. Stick to that 1 hour. And as I'm sitting there, I see the timer. and I say to myself, just sit and let go, be still. And as I do that, I remember taking a deep inhale and I exhale. And on this last exhale, I close my eyes and the outside of my knees, they hit the floor, boom. And as soon as it hit the floor, the energy of my body shot up from my body into my head. And I was like, whoo. And I entered into this space where you couldn't hear anything. And the only thing that I could hear were my thoughts. So I was actually the person behind the thoughts. You know, sometimes you hear your thoughts and then you, like now I'm talking. I can't hear my thoughts. But I know what I'm going to say. In that moment, I knew what I was going to say before I said it. And I could hear all of my thoughts just racing. My internal self asked myself, what are you doing? And I will never forget my answers. My answer was, I'm about to kill myself. Because for these 3 days that I prepped, I prepped myself, you know, got myself ready to harm myself, to commit suicide. And so this was 3 questions that were asked. What are you doing? It's like, I'm about to kill myself. And they asked me the same question again. What are you doing? I was like, I'm about to kill myself. And the third time I said it, it was like a moment of realization. I was like, I'm about to kill myself. And right after that, it was like I was vacuumed out of that space. And I was like, no. The timer went off. Ding, ding. I was like, no, what was that? What was that? So shortly after, a tear streamed down my face. And immediately I was like, what was that? Whatever that was, I'm going to chase that for the rest of my life. Whatever that was. And so from that moment on, I became a student of learning how to become an avid meditator and just understand the principles of life and why we are here. And I never thought about harming myself ever again. And I at that moment, I felt whole. I felt like I know what I need to do from this moment on. And this is the reason why I say meditation has saved my life. And that's the reason why I do what I do, because I want everyone to understand, when you feel like there's no way, there's one last way, and that's to go up. You go within, you go up. See, that's like me being around you, Tim and Keith, and I say to you guys, hey, you guys have wings. And you look at me like, Prince, okay, whatever, stop. Okay, what? No, I'm like, you guys have wings. And you still look at me like, all right, this guy has went off the Richter scale, you know, he's lost his mind. But when you go home, you start to look in the mirror and it's like, what is this guy talking about? I have wings. And you start to realize that you actually have wings and you forget that you can fly. And from that moment on, once you realize it, you say, wow, I have wings. Prince, thank you for reminding me. And sometimes that's all that we need, is that reminder to know that there is another way out. And that way is by looking within, you go up. You know, you connect with your spiritual self, because we're spiritual beings having a human experience. So once you put that into perspective, then you understand that you don't have a reason to get stuck. You know, so thank you for allowing me to share that.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing it. It's such an unbelievably powerful story. And just like you said, it literally saved your life, and it sounds like has sent you in this entirely different direction. It's just unbelievably inspiring.
Yes.
Yeah. And it feels to me like also such like a model of mindfulness in the way that you can share about these experiences with at least nothing that I can detect, like no hint of shame or embarrassment. I think because there's so much stigma around depression. There's such a taboo around talking about suicide or suicidal thoughts. But I think the reality is, you know, a lot of people experience that stuff. I mean, maybe not getting to the edge of actually about to commit suicide, but I think there's a lot of people that feel so alone right. in these like really dark feelings, and they're so scared to share them with people. And so I think it's just so powerful that you can, that you could speak to it. And I mean, I even makes me think about my own experiences. Like, I was a rower. That was my sport. I rode in high school. I rode through college. After college, I was coaching. So I was coaching for a few years, and I was doing that for about 12 years. So you know, being a part of a team was this huge part of my life, huge part of my identity. Right. And then I stopped. I stopped coaching because I was in a PhD program. I got too busy. And I got really depressed. Just like it was, I had lost, and I thought it was going to be relief. I'm like, great, I don't have to wake up at 4:30 in the morning anymore. This is going to be awesome. You know, but I had really lost, and it hit me like, it blindsided me. I had no idea it was going to impact me like that. Right. And yeah, it's like, who do I talk to about that? I don't know anyone else having that experience because no one's talking about it.
Correct. Exactly. It's been a taboo for a very long time, but I'm here to debunk that taboo and just remind people, like, we have a superpower, and it's not until you learn how to tap into it, which I say your energy, not the E-N-E-R-G-Y, but the I-N-N-E-R, capital G, your inner good, your inner greatness, your inner genie, your inner God, your inner goddess, you know, all of the above. Like once you learn how to tap into it, then you start to realize like how incredible we are and how the Creator has made us to do some ultimate things. And so when you tap into it, you learn how to express yourself in that manner and do some incredible things. You know, like I always see the inner good in everyone. And I remind them that. That's why I'm always like, man, this is an honor to be in you guys' presence, because what you guys are doing is incredible. You're helping the consciousness shift of the universe to help mankind evolve. And that's what it's all about. We're here to help each other evolve. You know, when you look at flowers, when you look at trees, when you look at animals, if we don't cause harm to them, they evolve. And if we can think of ourselves in that same manner, you know, helping each other evolve, then we will have fulfilled our purpose on this planet Earth.
Hmm. Well, thank you for your kind words about us. That certainly means a lot to hear you say. Yeah. I would love to hear. Just this feels like such a great segue into the work that you are doing now, and how you're helping professional athletes to spread their wings as you're sharing. You know how you sort of came to that, and what kind of, I mean, obviously you can share as much or as little in terms of the types of clients that you work with, but just love to hear a bit more about what you're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. How I came to start this career was, you know, as I mentioned, meditation saved my life. And so from that moment on, I said, all right, I'm going to make sure that no athlete has to go through this anymore. And what I mean by athletes, yes, professional athletes, but also our athletes in life. You know, we're all athletes in this game of life. And we all have an Olympic or professional athlete inside of us. So, I just promised myself, I'm going to start with the players, and I'm going to give them exactly what they need, the things that we don't speak about. And I just want to be open about it, because I think we accept in our society, we accept all of the things that are harmful for us, but yet we don't do anything to change it. And so I was just saying, you know what, who's going to castrate me for, you know, speaking about mindfulness and meditation? Hopefully no one, you know. I decided to start this business called Game Beyond the Game, where we help athletes after the game, because what I realized is it's that transition that all athletes go through. As you mentioned, Tim, you know, we you go through a transition, and we don't do anything to remedy that transition or to make sure that we have a smooth segue into our next life. And a lot of times that's how life is, you know, keep going. Don't think about anything, just keep going. And when you're going 100 miles per hour, it's hard to make a right turn or a left turn because you have to slow down the momentum. And a lot of times you have to slow down momentum. And that slowing down of that momentum doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It just means you're aligning yourself to go in a different direction at another 100 miles per hour. You know, so Game Beyond the Game was just a safe haven for athletes to be able to find their purpose, their vision, and have the mindset to carry it out and see it through. And what we do, we basically help you do that through our membership program that we have set up for these athletes. And we do events. We have events and experiences. Experiences are quote unquote a retreat, a 7-day retreat, but we call it an experience because it is an experience. And what you get out of it is a level of awareness, acute awareness, where you become so aware of everything that you start to realize like the powers within you and the things that you're capable of doing, you know, because these athletes have done some incredible things. And so what we do, we remind them that you've done these incredible things, but there are so many other incredible things that you can do. And so remember, in order for you to transcend from your accomplishments, which were just a smaller part of your life, you have to make sure that your spirit is right, your mind is right, and your body is right. And so we help them align these three things so they can find their purpose, find their vision, and have the mindset to carry it out.
That sounds amazing. And are you focusing mostly with football players, or are you branching out across all different sports? Like who do you find being receptive to the programming?
All different sports, you know, right now. So I have Olympians. So I have Olympians, football players, basketball players, WNBA players, I mean, soccer players, you know, they've been contacting me as well. And, you know, I started with the NFL guys because that's low hanging fruit. I'm familiar with that arena, but more and more athletes are starting to reach out to me. You know, like, yo, once they saw my book, and I have a 6-week program that goes along with the book while we dive in deep. And I work with all players, whether you're active player, a former player, someone that's looking to transition out of the game. What I do, I help them create the mindset right away, like start right away. And that's through my 6-week coaching where I get them prepared for the subscription base. Because in my book, I speak about just understanding the practice of mindfulness and meditation and how it helps you beyond the game. You know, because sometimes the game means more to us than ourselves. And so where the transition, I mean, where there's a fault in the transition is we still like to wear that jersey, that honor of, you know, I was an athlete. I mean, we're super proud of that. But beyond an athlete, instead of giving yourself that title, you know, who are you beyond an athlete? And so we remind them that, and I just tell them, look, this book is just a tool, you know, that's going to help you transcend the mundane, any problems that you have, any stress that you have, or learning how to deal with death, because that's another thing that we don't talk about. You know, I've dealt with it in multiple ways, and just understand it from a stance of, as I mentioned before, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And so when you start reminding people that you have this spirit inside of you that can use others, people's energy, you know, to inspire you to go and do the things that you want to do in the world to help mankind evolve, then you can do that. You know, I just give people a different perspective on looking at things. As I mentioned before, is that it's difficult to see the forest on ground level because you can only see the trees. But if you can elevate yourself 30,000 feet above ground, you can see the trees and the forest. So these are the things that I remind the athletes that, you know, right now you're on ground level. So let's elevate that vantage point and be able to see everything.
Yeah, right. That being able to take that perspective is just so, so powerful, right? And we get locked in these way of thinking, you know, about who we're supposed to be or how we're supposed to act. And, exactly. And yeah, it's like, it's amazing what happens when you can really like take that step back and just be willing to see something a bit differently. Now, of course, you know, the three of us talking here today, we're, you know, preaching to the choir, right? Like we all get this, but you know, but this is, not everyone is open to this. Certainly, you know, in our experience, you know, Keith and I, you know, I've been working with various teams and athletes, we get some pushback when we start talking about mindfulness or meditation. And I guess I'd be curious to hear about that too, like in your experience trying to work with athletes. Like, has there been resistance? What kind of pushback have you gotten to some of these ideas?
Most definitely. It's been a lot of resistance. That's why it took me 10 years to start like coming out now and just be like, you know what? Unbashfully, just screaming it like, you know what? I don't care what anybody else thinks anymore. I got a lot of pushback. You know, one of my biggest clients that I had an opportunity to work with was Calvin Johnson, who actually wrote the foreword to my book. He's also a good friend of mine as well. We played at Georgia Tech together. And about 10 years ago, I started telling him about meditation. Like, man, meditation. And it was funny because he even mentioned this in my book launch. He was just like, meditation? Like, he's like, aren't you Christian? And so it's just like, yes, I am. But now I'm all of the above. I'm more spiritual than I am, you know, just belonging to a sect or a religion. And I told him that, but what I'm teaching you is a practice. So take the religious stuff out there, out of it. You know, start, like meditation is not a religion. It's not a philosophy. You know, it's a practice that allows you to access a level of focus, you know, compassion, awareness, you know, at such a deep level. And this exists in every individual in the world at all times. And then I also told him about when you are practicing meditation, you are connecting with your spirit. And so that's why I always remind people to sit up straight, because you're trying to connect with your higher self. Because sometimes we don't have all the answers to the questions that we have. And so you have to connect to your higher self to get a different perspective and vantage point so you can see things clearly. And so what I told him was that, man, your spirit is not going to lead you in the wrong direction. So when you learn how to tap into your spirit, then it's going to guide you in the direction of where your desires are. You know, and so from that point on, he was just like, okay. And he started really understanding. And I started realizing is that you have to tell people that it's a practice. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a connotation with Buddhism, but Buddha means the enlightened one. And I mentioned that in my book. It's just, you know, like these stories, there are stories that have been told, stories that have been fabricated, stories that have been told from someone, from a third party. And now the story is diluted with their own interpretation. And you just have to go back to the origin, just understand why would anyone practice meditation. I also ask my clients, like, if you can think back and imagine before there were books, right? Before there were books, how did we learn? How did we study? By observation. And that's what part of meditation is, observing, being a witness, being able to see things. So when you think about not having any books, what's the next thing you do? Being able to sit up with your eyes closed and being conscious. You know, and that's deep contemplation. You know, Socrates talked about it, Plato talked about it, and it's just now that we have the perfect distraction, which is the television, which tells a vision, you know, we don't get time to look within ourselves, to do any type of introspection. So from that point, you start to realize you're getting back to your core self when you start looking within. So I remind these athletes of that. Yes, I had pushback in the beginning, but now they're starting to realize it more because they're starting to see it in mainstream, how it's becoming a little bit more popular. But what I look to do is just to make sure that everyone has the basic understanding and understand that there's a foundation and it's just a practice. It's not affiliated with anything. And we all have the capability of practicing this practice, this technique. You know, like, it's in us. It doesn't cost you anything to sit down and close your eyes.
Yeah, and I think you're making such an important point, because I certainly have experienced that too in my practice, my clinical practice, you know, introducing mindfulness to some people or meditation, and yeah, they do have all these preconceived notions about what it is, particularly about how it's connected to this or that religion. But right, when I actually used to teach this course at Catholic University that was about mindfulness and meditation across world religions, and you look back, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, examples of meditation wherever you look. They don't always call it meditation, but when you read about what it is, it's meditation.
It's meditation, exactly.
You know? And it's not even that it has to be religious. It's just that it's, you know, it I think that perspective allows for a kind of an openness. I mean, one of my meditation teachers was a devout Catholic, but practiced yoga, and it was influenced by Hinduism. And I felt so influenced by him, and I was raised Jewish. But when I meditate, I end every meditation with the prayer of St. Francis. I'm not Catholic. Yes. I'm not Christian, but it means a lot to me. And I wouldn't have been able to, I wouldn't have been able to get there if I wasn't open to seeing, like, oh, maybe there's a lot to be pulled from these different traditions.
It is. It is. Like, you don't have to walk that narrow line, you know, because you learn from everything and everyone. You know, if you just focus on, I'm just going to learn from this culture, this group, then you're not going to learn much. I mean, or your thought process is going to be narrow-minded. So it's the same thing when it comes to understanding religion, because, you know, one of the things for me that just jolted me in this space was, I was trying to figure out about why there are so many religious wars. Didn't understand it. I was just like, why? We're supposed to be here getting along, being able to cohabitate. So why is everyone, you know, fighting each other? And so I started studying other religions and just trying to understand what was going on. And what I realized is just like, oh, everybody has their own story. And there's truth to that story. And some of it is a little bit fabricated. But, you know, but everyone has some truth to their story. And a lot of these stories seem similar. So let me find what is the common denominator in all of these things. And it's about, it's focusing, contemplating, meditating, witnessing, you know, on whatever that energy may be, whether it's the word or whether it's the energy inside of you. When you can do that, when you can tap into your energy, when you start looking within yourself, you start to see your greater good, what you can do. And a lot of people that are in religion, they get caught up in well, it's not what I'm doing, it's what the Creator is doing for me. And then you fall into, then if something bad happens, you know, it's this other, you know, this demon that you know, that overtook me. So the blame is on someone else instead of taking their full responsibility, you know, for the things that they're capable of doing, and making a difference, you know, because when you make a difference, you don't summon a deity. It's you look to take action, and then you pray about it, you know, that that the forces that may be protect you. So, you know, it's just people, I want, you know, individuals to have this understanding. Like, when I approach you about this, it's not about to convert you to do anything. Like, actually, this is going to help you, in your faith and your religion, because it helps you gain a stronger connection to, the powers that may be. So, you know, I just remind people, like, don't run away from this, because you can close your eyes. Like, everybody closes their eyes at night, right? So we're all meditators. And the way I open people up another way is, you know, when I tell people, like, you meditate every night, and they're like, what are you talking about, man? I go to sleep every night. I'm just like, well, you got to understand this. Like, sleep is unconscious meditation. Meditation is conscious sleep. So you meditate every night, whether you know it or you don't. And so, you know, after that, the conversation ends. But then they usually come back, you know, give it some time, and they come back and they're just like, how'd you know all this stuff? Where do you learn all this stuff from? Where are you getting this information from? You know, I just tell them, oh, just practice and experience. And yeah, keep that simple.
Yeah. I mean, being it, right. You're living it. It's been such a big part of your life. It sounds like for most of your life in yes. different ways. And the word that kept going off in my mind, like neon lights, when you were talking there, mm-hmm. is openness.
Openness.
You know, how much this is about openness, whereas you can look at so many different parts of our world that are about being closed off.
Right.
You know, certainly feeling that now in, mm-hmm. in what's happening in the world. And, you know, there's so much about what you're saying today, Prince, that, mm-hmm. that just feels so open. You know, you're an open guy and yeah. your point of view, what you're trying to teach, it sounds like is so much about openness. And it's just so refreshing to listen to you. And again, I appreciate your kind words about us earlier, but we really appreciate the work you're doing too in trying to bring a lot of openness to a world that, you know, the big world, but also the smaller world of sport, which is notoriously very closed. It's a very right. closed domain. And yes. so what you're doing is I think so important for, yes, for performance and life, but for wellness, for health, for right. Just how people feel about themselves and each other. It's really, the implications are huge, I think.
Thank you.
So unfortunately we have to leave the conversation there. but really appreciate your time today and everything yeah. you shared. And I wonder, I know you have a website, if you'd be willing yes. to share with our listeners how they could reach out to you, or certainly, yes. I know I mentioned your book at the beginning, but if you want to repeat the title of your book, because we yes. want to let yes. people know.
Yes, yes, yes. So the title of my book is called Mindfulness for the Ultimate Athlete, Mastering the Balance Between Power and Peace. The foreword is written by Calvin Johnson Jr., Megatron. I'm just really excited about this book because I feel deep down in my spirit and my heart that it's going to help help sports evolve or how athletes approach the game. You know, that we're going to start using parts of our spirit to ignite our desires, and then from there we create the subconscious mind to have the Mamba mentality, but actually the samurai mentality, and go just a bit beyond. And then the body is just a byproduct. It just merges with the projected thought. So it's a really good book, teaches you how to master the balance between your power and your peace, which we don't talk about balance much. So if you guys get an opportunity to, please go and check it out. It's on amazon.com, and you can find me on www.princedanielsjr.com. Where I just share a little bit about me. You can get to know more about me and my social media handle. Instagram is Prince ADJR. So that's my initial. So Prince ADJR, that's on Instagram. And I think Twitter is the same thing. And Facebook is just my name, Prince Daniels Jr. Or you can just go to my website and find everything. So
that's great. And certainly for listeners, if you want to get a hold of us, you can visit our MSPU website at www.mindfulsportperformance.org. You can also follow me, Dr. Keith Kaufman, on Twitter. My handle is @mindfulsportdoc. I think I mentioned recently as well, we just started a YouTube channel where we're including meditations from our podcast. So please feel free to check that out if you'd like to do some independent practice with the exercises that we do and that our guests do. And we also just started an Instagram page for our podcast. And so the handle for that is mindful_sport_podcast. So that's our Instagram page. So lots of different ways that you can connect with us or follow us, and we certainly welcome you to do so. We also want to take just a moment and thank our producer, Taylor Brown from EnduroMind and UT Austin, as well as our colleague, Dr. Carol Glass, for all of her support behind the scenes and helping make the podcast go. So thank you again, Prince, so much for joining us and for yeah. sharing today. It was wonderful to speak with you, and we'll see you all next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.